All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Yesterday's action before the end of the MLB trade deadline was fast and furious. Of course, the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline was at 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, July the 31st, and there were plenty of shockers as far as the moves that were made by teams. Now, you look at the David Price trade, and of course, that was a three-team deal that involved the Tampa Bay Rays, the Seattle Mariners, and of course, the Detroit Tigers. And the Rays, you know, this team had really climbed back into the race as far as the playoff picture in the American League. Price is under contract with them through 2015, and I expected them to hold on to him. You look at the Rays right now, they're 5.5 back of the final wild card spot. But Rays general manager Andrew Friedman figured now is the time to deal Price. And he has, you know, a young prospect back in return. He also had a left-handed reliever in Drew Smyly that he got back from the Tigers. But I really expected the Rays to really stick to their guns and really get a king's ransom for David Price. We saw it before once they traded Matt Garza to the Chicago Cubs. It was an 8-player trade. Of course, Tampa sent 3 players to the Cubs, and then in return, the Cubs sent 5 players to the Rays, and one of those guys being Chris Archer. So it's a situation where, you know, I really expected the Rays to get a little bit more for Price, and if that was the case, I expected them to hold on to him at least through this season and maybe potentially look to move him at the winter meetings in the offseason. But, you know, you look at the Boston Red Sox, this was a team that was very busy today, and you look at what their general manager, Ben Cherington, did. He sent starting pitcher John Lackey along with outfielder Johnny Gomes to the Oakland Athletics in exchange for outfielder Yoenis Cespedes. And you expected Lester to go because the Red Sox were attempting all season long, and it started in spring training, rather, to negotiate a long-term deal with Lester and his representatives. And the Red Sox and Lester were very far apart as far as the finances on the contract. And Cherington saw the time now to try to trade Lester and get something back for him. Of course, we know that Lester was scratched from his Wednesday start against the Toronto Blue Jays amid the reports of trade rumors. Now, from Oakland's standpoint, I'm a little shocked that they gave up Cespedes. Yes, they have outfielders, but you look at the defensive skills that Yoenis Cespedes has. You look at a guy that has a howitzer for an arm in the outfield. And, you know, in the postseason, because the Oakland Athletics are going there this year, again, it's a situation where pitching and defense always get you to the next round. And that could be a move as far as letting Cespedes go that may hurt the Athletics. But right now, you look at their arms and their rotation. You have Sonny Gray, you have Jeff Samardzija, and you also have John Lester. I would take those 3 against any other 3 coming into the postseason in October. The Red Sox, they were not done. They sent starting pitcher John Lackey to the St. Louis Cardinals in exchange for outfielder slash first baseman Alan Craig and starting pitcher Joe Kelly. Now, from the Red Sox standpoint, Lackey was only due to make $500,000 next season. I expected Cherington to hold on to Lackey, but he did get some value in return. You look at the fact, just like Cespedes, Alan Craig can play the outfield. The Red Sox had plenty of problems in their outfield all season long, and Cherington's looking to get 2015 started a little bit early. Joe Kelly is a very promising young starter in the major leagues. We saw that last year in the postseason run for the St. Louis Cardinals, and you figure with John Farrell, who has a pitching background, and of course he is now the manager of the Red Sox, he is going to work and really tutor Joe Kelly, and I guarantee you within a year or two, Joe Kelly is going to be a frontline starter for the Bo Sox. Now, on top of that, Felix DuBront was sent Wednesday to the Chicago Cubs. You also look at the moves where relief pitcher Andrew Miller was sent to the Baltimore Orioles. And, of course, Stephen Drew, the shortstop, was sent to the New York Yankees. And it's rather interesting with Stephen Drew because him and his representative, Scott Boras, were really holding out for a 4-year, $56 million deal in the offseason, which never came. Now, Drew was signed midseason to a 1-year deal for $10 million. And from the Yankee standpoint, they were just desperate to get another person in their infield. He's going to play second base. Drew is for the Yankees. He's not going to be a shortstop. Obviously, Derek Jeter is still holding that position down for the Pinstripers. And it's a situation where, you know, the Yankees, they made several moves. You figure getting Steven Drew, getting another infielder in Martin Prado from the Arizona Diamondbacks. But, you know, things have really changed for the Yankees when they have not been able to go out there and make those blockbuster moves to acquire all-star talent like they have in the past. The Yankees really don't have the talent in their farm system like they did before in order to get rid of those guys for a big-time impact player at the trade deadline. Now, the Yankees do have some good pitching this year. Offensively, they have struggled mightily, but they are still in the mix for a postseason spot. You look at the Yankees right now, they're just 3 games back of the Toronto Blue Jays for the final wild card spot in the American League. So, you know, the Yankees under their manager, Joe Girardi, are going to look to get things happened. The Nationals, of course, getting infielder Asdrubal Cabrera from the Cleveland Indians. It was a situation for the Nats. You know, this team already had everything. And, you know, Asdrubal Cabrera is just going to be another piece to the puzzle. But the bottom line is, mentally, can the Nationals figure it out? They've had all the talent, and they have more talent, rather, than any other team in the National League East. And you figure we're in August now. The time is now for the Nationals to be able to separate themselves from the pack in the National League East. Of course, once the Athletics got John Lester from the Boston Red Sox, they had no more need for Tommy Malone, who was already sent down to the minors. Once the Athletics acquired Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill from the Chicago Cubs. So subsequently at the trade deadline, Tommy Malone was sent to the Minnesota Twins for utility man Sam Fold. Sam Fold was a member of the Tampa Bay Rays playoff team in 2013, and he's going to come in and he's going to fill a big part for this postseason run from the Oakland Athletics. He's a guy that he may fly under the radar for now, but I guarantee you come October, he's going to be a big part of what Oakland's going to do. A little bit of a shocker here is that the Philadelphia Phillies and New York Mets both stayed pat at the non-waiver trade deadline. Of course, you know, teams were interested in both starting pitchers, Cliff Lee and Cole Hamels from the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, and I'm still going to be critical of Phillies general manager Ruben Amaro Jr. You know, the title window for this team closed several years ago. You have veterans on that team. You look at shortstop Jimmy Rollins. You also look at second baseman Chase Utley. And, of course, I talked about Hamels, and I also talked about Lee, not to mention closer Jonathan Papelbon. These are guys that could be valuable to a contender right now, and you can get some young prospects back. The Phillies are not going anywhere anytime soon. They are one of the oldest teams in baseball. You look at them right now, they're in last place in the National League East. They're 11.5 games behind the Washington Nationals, and they're getting bypassed in the standings by two young teams in the Miami Marlins and the New York Mets. So the Phillies have to rebuild, and I've said it for the last few years, and Ruben Amaro still has not addressed it. And the longer that Amaro takes to rebuild this team is going to be the longer that it's going to take for the Phillies to get things turned around. And if the Phillies stick to their guns right now and their strategy of holding on to these aging players, it's going to be a situation where it's not far-fetched that in 2015 the Phillies could potentially lose 100 games, if not 2015, definitely by 2016. Now, the Mets were dangling Bartolo Colon, the starting pitcher, out there, and there's still a possibility that the Mets could move him. You figure, again, this was a non-waiver trade deadline. The waiver trade deadline is good until August 31st, and it's a situation, you know, a contender could pop up. New York Mets general manager Sandy Alderson is going to take the time now to see if his team can make a move in the wild card race in the next 30 days. The Mets are 6 games behind the Atlanta Braves for the final playoff spot in the National League. I don't see it happening from the Mets as far as them making the postseason or even being competitive. But for them at this standpoint, with where they've been in the past few years, it would be vital for them to get to the 500 mark once they finish the season. It could be a potential launching pad for this team to do bigger and better things in 2015. But getting back to the postseason scene or potential postseason scene for 2015, you know, I'm really shocked that the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays did not make a move at the trade deadline as far as for a starting pitcher. Of course, the Orioles got Andrew Miller, who is a relief pitcher from the Red Sox. But you look at both the Jays and the Orioles, they have all of the hitting in the world, but each team needs another pitcher in their starting rotation. And that's going to be the difference for what they're able to do in the postseason, because this is a year where the American League East more than likely is only going to get one participant in the postseason race, because more than likely both wildcard spots are going to come out of the AL West. So it's going to be vital for both the Orioles and the Blue Jays to make a move between now and August 31st to get an arm. You look at Cliff Lee, he more than likely could be headed back to the disabled list for the Phillies, but Cole Hamels is out there. And if you're the Blue Jays, you need to go out there and get a guy. You look at Cole Hamels and what he's done for before in the postseason. He helped the Phillies win the World Series back in 2008. And more importantly, he's a lefty, and he can really change the dynamics for a playoff team right now. Detroit is going to run away with the American League Central. You look at that West right now, more than likely Oakland's going to win it, but the Angels are right there. The Mariners are also in the playoff mix for a wild card spot. They are 2.5 games behind the Blue Jays for the final wild card spot in the American League. But you look at the American League as a whole when it comes to the playoff picture. Right now, for my money, it's going to come down to the A's, the Angels, and the Tigers. Of course, you look at the Tigers, the move today, or yesterday rather, to get David Price from the Rays. Now you have Justin Verlander, you have Max Scherzer, you have Anibal Sanchez, and you have David Price. And this is a good move for the Detroit Tigers, not only for this year, but next year by their general manager, Dave Dombrowski, because there is a possibility that the Tigers could lose Max Scherzer in free agency this offseason. And if that is the case, you still have another frontline starter in your rotation by the name of David Price. Verlander is not the guy that he was several years ago. His velocity has dipped a little bit, so you cannot count on him the same way. But at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to the Tigers' bullpen and what they can or cannot do in October. And if the Tigers' bullpen is still unable to figure it out, all of the starting pitching in the world won't matter if their guys cannot go 9 innings, or if they go 6 or 7 innings and they cannot trust the bullpen coming in after them. And you look at that AL West, the Mariners, they more than likely are going to be a playoff team. I really think the Angels and the A's are locks. But right now, you look at the A's and their starting rotation. You're looking at, like I said, Jeff Samardzija, you have Sonny Gray, and now you've added John Lester, a guy who's been there and done that and won in the postseason. And you cannot overlook the move that the Angels made a few days prior to the trade deadline in acquiring closer Houston Street from the San Diego Padres. And on the National League side, you look at the fact that the Los Angeles Dodgers stayed pat in their moves. I still would not be surprised that a guy like Cole Hamels, if he did come available on the market, if you don't see a team like the Dodgers or another team in Southern California like the Angels going out there and trying to make a push for him. But this is going to be a fantastic race to the finish, and I cannot wait to see how the postseason scene looks come October. Folks, I want to thank you once again for tuning into the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge podcast. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And if you're on Facebook, you can check out the page and like it at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. Once again, fine folks, I am William Martin. Take care and have yourselves a wonderful day.